good singing all the way around. We bless the Lord for that.
Yes.
And just so you'd be able to know that Brother Rice and him, and we started taking up that money this morning. We took up $2,593.
Yeah.
And we hope that'll be a blessing to you somehow or another and all that. You may have to stay more than four or five days. And anyhow, it's all right. Yes, sir. Oh, you're quite welcome. You're quite welcome. My word, I'm telling you right now, is that we just bless the Lord for having you and your wife and family. And, hey, what a privilege that it is. All right, take your Bible. Let me see if I can get this button here turned on right quick. How about that? I appreciate that good song, Do You Know How It Feels? I do know how it feels. I really do. And I'm glad. And if you don't know how it feels, you know, here I was thinking about that. Hey, Ben knows how that feels now. He does. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse number 1. We'll use that just as a place to get started here. In the chapter 29, the book of Proverbs, you're able to stand. We'll stand while we look in verse number 1. In verse number 1, the Bible said that he, being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the Word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We thank you for having heard and answered prayer. We thank you for the privilege to be able to give as unto thee. We pray that now that you'd move upon us within us, Lord, how we praise you and thank you, thou art God from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there is none else. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while, an old sermon that's entitled, It Still Needs Fixing, and the Remedy's Gone. In the day and hour that we're living in, let me tell you, is that we've got people that may be sinning in ignorance. They don't really know what God says is right or wrong about a subject. And that's one thing and bad enough. But when a person is defying against God and bows up against what God said and makes their mind up, I'm just not going to receive that. That's quite another story. In fact is that whenever you begin to look into this as sinners, here's where it is. They stand upon the ground of mercy, and between heaven and hell, the ground of mercy is all that's keeping them from dropping off into hell. In the lesson that we're looking at here tonight, let me tell you right now, the Word of God, the Bible said, is profitable for doctrine. You know what to believe concerning religious matters? Word of God will tell you. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And let me tell you right now, it's the intent of the Word of the Lord not to harden your heart, but to humble your heart and to make you submissive to the will of God. You know, over there in the book of James, and we'll not take time to turn there, but over in James in chapter number 4, whenever he's talking about that, he's talking about grace, and he's talking about humbling, and he's talking about rebellion, and he's talking about hooking up with the wrong crowd, and he's talking about loving the Lord. But in the book of James, and what he goes on and finally says, do you think the scripture saith in vain? Do you think God doesn't mean what he says or says what he means? I was talking to a man one time on a doorstep. I had another preacher standing there with me. And I said, sir, I said, wouldn't you like to trust the Lord and get saved by the grace of God? And wouldn't you like to repent toward God and receive the Lord Jesus? He said, well, now hold on a minute, preacher. I've gone to a beer bus Friday night, saved or no saved. The other fellow spoke up trying to help and said, oh, yeah, but sir, if you get saved, God will take that from you. I said, no, sir, he will not. God will never save a soul that he hasn't made sick of sin, first of all. That's just the way that it is. He's not in the bargaining business. We had a black preacher one time that came to a church where I was. And buddy, let me tell you right now, he is a preacher. And he was moving along there, and you know how black folk and all of that business there. But he said, I'm just going to tell you, brethren and sister, God don't need any of us, but we sure do need him. I never forget him saying that. Still rings and makes an impression in my heart, in my mind. That's the truth of the matter. I want to say that when you begin to look into this, it's an opportunity tonight that you and I have here. Maybe you're lost in sin, without hope, without God. And I'll tell you what preaching ought to do is, it ought to disturb you, it ought to awaken you. It ought to get you to the place where it reproves you and rebukes you about your lost condition and exhorts you to come to Christ and to be born into the family of God. I like something old Ben told his mama. He said, I couldn't go to sleep. I was having trouble going to sleep. And he said, I just felt like it was because God had been dealing with me and dealing with it a while, and I finally went ahead and asked the Lord to save me, and then I went on to sleep. I thought, what a good testimony that is. And that's the way that it ought to be. Let me say that when you begin to look into it, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. You can't get saved because you're afraid of going to hell. There have been a lot of people afraid of going to hell, died and went to hell anyhow. You get saved because God and the goodness of God has granted you repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In this lesson you're looking at, let me say to you, this Bible said there's none good, no, not one. Do you know if you talk to the average religionist and ask him, what do you think it'd take to go to heaven? They're going to bring out their good works. They're going to tell you how good you ought to be. Well, you know, I feel like if you do the best you can, go to church regularly and all of that business there, and I feel like somehow another God is going to credit that to your account. No, sir, God's not going to. We have no account. God cannot afford to charge anything to us because we'd never be able to pay it back. What was that? Somebody said years ago, God is too rich to try to sell you anything. But if he ever decided to, we'd be too poor to buy it. That's true, isn't it? A lot of people die without hope, without God. And let me tell you right now, it's a sad day and hour that we're living in, is that whenever the folks are afraid to admit what they are, there's none good, no, not one. And the only goodness you and I have lives on the inside of us. And let me tell you, when the goodness of God led us to repentance and brought us faith, and let me tell you, the opportunity was there, and what you do with it now is going to be between you and God. Number two is, let me tell you, there's an opposition of reproof. The Bible said, he that hardeneth his neck, being often reproved and hardeneth his neck, makes his mind up, I'm not going to go. You know what happens whenever you, and we're not going to take a whole lot of time because, you know, I want to get to the baptismal pool and disturb that water. But do you realize and know that when a person hardens their neck and stiffens up, they get to the place to where they're not hearing anything that God has to say? You'll see some of your kids, before they get grown, do that. And you'll be screaming at them, are you listening to me? No, they're not. I mean, if God were to go ahead and say to us like we do to our children, are you listening to me? No, we're not. I mean, I can't tell you how many times is that my wife is, I've gotten in trouble because of the fact is that, what'd you say in there, hon? What was it? I'm always having to repeat myself to you. Well, number one, I don't hear good. Number two, there was something on TV that I knew I couldn't give them to repeat it. I was working with an old boy. You know, I preached about nakedness this morning. And let me tell you, there's a proper time for all of that between a husband and wife and so forth and so on. I had a fellow one time I was working with. What's the matter with you? I don't like crazy woman. I tell you right now, is ever since we got married, she don't even want to go steady no more. I said, didn't you know that's the way that it was going to be? When you get married, is that the going steady is over. And when you have a kid, they don't even want to go steady anymore. Well, it's awful quiet in here. I said, just go home and read this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, that the Bible said that we're to render due benevolence, a man to the woman to the man, and the man does not have power over his own body. If he has a need, she's to take care of it. If she has a need, he's to take care of it. Shame on the man that's too busy to take time for his wife. He said, here's what he said. I knew there had to be Bible for that somewhere. All that business there. You know, we all of us have those inherent excuses within us. Oh, no, the kid's liable to come. And somebody's liable to show up. I hear somebody, the UPS or FedEx or something. Why are we ordering stuff like that? We don't care if they're in here. I mean, it's not like they're going to break in and say, hey, what are y'all doing in here? Well, I mean, they might. There might be some that would do that, but there's going to be a rude awakening if you do. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you something. You want to be able to have some happiness and have some heaven to go to heaven in? Well, just stick with what God had to say. See, I know you're going to be tempted to say, yeah, but then the Lord didn't know how much it was going to take for me to put up with you. Oh, really? Yeah. You think God didn't know that already? I got to say to you that, if you will, that out of all the divorce rate that's in America, and there's over 50% of it, and I don't know how, but do you know that it always starts most of the time in the bedroom? I've dealt with lots of couples, buddy, and every time you can trace it right back to there. Bob Harrington, years ago, you know, he was that fellow that was over there in New Orleans, and he was an evangelist and a very talented man. And all that business there, he said that he went out visiting one time, and he was knocking on the door trying to get a man to turn his heart to the Lord. No, he said, my wife's a religious nut. He said, I'm not coming. I'm not doing that. If that's what it's going to make out of me. And he said, you don't, yeah. I said, just talking about it makes me want to have another drink. You want one, preacher? You want a drink too? And he said, oh, no, I don't never touch the stuff. And so he poured him one, and he was drinking it down. He began to tell him how bad it was, and over and over. And then he got him another drink. Preacher, you sure you don't want one of these right here? No, oh, no, I don't touch that at all. And then in a few minutes, she got coming home. Na, 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 na. And the preacher told him, pour me one. I mean, there's sometimes you don't know what people's going through. I told y'all about that dirty restroom over there in Marlin or Markey. What is that? If you go through Centerville and you're headed toward the interstate, is that Marlin? Up there somewhere. Do you go through Marlin? Some of you that know Miss Diaz, huh? Marquee. I knew it was something. I knew it had an M in it. I knew it wasn't Mickey Mouse, but it had an M. Anyhow, and I told them about that this morning. You know, it was just right after that that I went into another restroom at a restaurant, and it was, buddy, been freshly painted. It was spick and it was span. I mean, in snow white. It would hurt your eye. It was so bright. And somebody right up here in one little corner had written real neatly, I might say, they paint these walls to hide my pen, but the phantom poet has struck again. I thought, no, that's my kind of person, whoever that is. I don't do a lot of handwriting on the restroom walls. In fact, I never have done that, but I've read a lot that's there. Some of it, you can't repeat it, you see. I just wanted to say to you that, if you will, is that no doubt that regardless of how good that you're having it, how good you're doing, regardless of how glad you are and all that business there, that if you die without the Lord, you're going to spend eternity without God in a place called hell, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire where the worm never dies and the fires never quench. And the words of James will ring in your ears. Do you think the scripture spoke in vain? See? I got to tell you right now is, it'll make the right kind of man, woman, boy, girl out of you, the right kind of person. And let me tell you, you need not harden your heart about the things of God. There's a passage over in Nehemiah. We'll not take time to turn there because there's more than one of them in that related. But in Nehemiah 9, at about verse number 29, when God was using them to reprove people, that Bible said, and they would harden their neck and they'd pull their shoulder away from God. He mentions that again, and over there in the book of Zechariah, he finally lets us know that if you keep saying no to God and not listening to God, there's going to come a time when God will not listen to you. I'd hate to know that I was in that kind of shape, that when I tried to pray to God, it was just dead and lifeless and loveless and nothing, see? You better be sensitive unto the mind of God and the things of God. In closing, I want to say to you that, if you will, when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, that our text verse that we've read, being often reproved and hardened at this day, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. In other words, there's going to come a time you're past the point of no return. I can tell you somebody that did that. We read about him this morning. Brother Mark taught about him. His name was Saul. It didn't make any difference how much he cried after he disobeyed the Lord and God's going to take him off the throne. You'll find that he came after Samuel and, well, I want you to pray with me and I want you to go and help me. And Samuel said, I can no longer go with you anymore. There comes a time you'll have to go and sin by yourself. But he went down, down, down until he fell on his own sword in battle and he killed himself and there was no remedy. Do you remember over there about Ahab, a man, you know, that certainly had seen the touch and the hand and the power of God upon the land? And he made up his mind that he was not, even though he was a king of Israel, nobody could tell him nothing. And he was doing, look like pretty good until that man out there in the Syrian army drew back the bow at venture and turned it loose and it smote him between the joints of his harness and he bled to death in that chariot. I got to say to you that there comes a time to where that people that have walked with God, like Judas, hey, there come a time whenever he finally throwed himself headlong and his guts burst out of him and so forth and on. There was a man that heard the flawless preacher, the perfect preacher, and yet he died without hope, he died without God, he died without any kind of remedy. Now, if you're here tonight, and you're not saved, let me ask you, what exactly are you waiting for? You've seen the joy, the jubilation that people who trust the Lord have. You've seen the fact that when somebody gets born again, they're hell-proof and heaven-bound. And if you're not saved, I don't know what you're waiting on, but God help you to not ever pass the point of no return. I wonder tonight, while we stand to our feet and as we get ready to go back here to the baptismal waters, our Father, we want to thank you for loving us. We ask your blessings now upon the remainder of this service. Lord, we thank and praise you, thou art God, from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there is none else. Now, Lord, I pray you'd finish the message in every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.